So that's the first main part. The next part we'll just quickly go through. It's really around these seven knowledges that are noble and super mundane. The Buddha poses this question and then answers it. And what we learn from this remaining part of the discourse is really around the seven knowledges that arise from practicing the noble right view. And a noble disciple, when you have these seven knowledges or factors, then you're ready to realize the fruit of stream entry. Or you have realized the fruit of stream entry and are able to activate that fruit of attainment. So the Buddha says, and how does this view that is noble and emancipating lead the one who practices in accordance with it to the complete destruction of suffering? Here, a bhikkhu gone to the forest or to the root of a tree or to an empty hut considers thus, is there any obsession unabandoned in myself that might so obsess my mind that I cannot know or see things as they actually are? If a bhikkhu is obsessed by sensual lust, then his mind is obsessed. If he's obsessed by ill will, then his mind is obsessed. If he's obsessed by sloth and torpor, then his mind is obsessed. If he is obsessed by restlessness and worry, then his mind is obsessed. If he's obsessed by doubt, then his mind is obsessed. If the bhikkhu is absorbed in speculation about this world, then his mind is obsessed. If a bhikkhu is absorbed in speculation about the other world, then his mind is obsessed. If a bhikkhu takes to quarreling, brawling, and is deep in dispute, stabbing others with verbal daggers, then his mind is obsessed. He understands thus, there is no obsession unabandoned in myself that might so obsess my mind that I cannot know and see things as they actually are. My mind is well disposed for awakening to the truths. This is the first knowledge attained by him that is noble, supramundane, not shared by ordinary people. So here, what we do is we check whether we have any of the five hindrances. So sensual lust, ill will, sloth and torpor, restlessness and worry and doubt. And we also look at whether we have this tendency to quarrel, verbally spar and cultivate the wrong speech. If we find that the mind is obsessed by the five hindrances and cultivating this type of fighting tendency or wrong speech, then we know that it obstructs the mind from knowing and seeing as they re actually are. So this knowing and seeing as they actually are is yatha bhuta napajanaya napasayanti. So these are the things that would block the truth. So we're not seeing the truth as they actually are. So there are advanced meditations to see this clearly, but we'll leave that for another session. But what's important is this knowledge here. We know from the Avijja Sutta that the five hindrances are the nutriment for ignorance. So if we block the five hindrances, then we won't grow in ignorance and we grow in wisdom. If we allow the five hindrances to be there, then we grow in ignorance and block wisdom. If we have ignorance, it's a condition for volitional formation, sankharas. So that's how we activate dependent origination. So what the Buddha is saying here is if we have noble right view, then we know that we need to abandon or subdue the five hindrances and any unwholesome verbal actions so we don't grow in ignorance. This is the noble knowledge that is not available to ordinary people. This is the supramundane knowledge that Buddha is speaking about. And if we check and find that there are no unabandoned obsessions of the mind, no hindrances, no unwholesome verbal actions, then we have this first knowledge. So one of the fundamental things from the start of this discourse is recognizing that when we value anything outside of Nibbana, we have the wrong view. Beauty, permanency, pleasure, self, that is me and mine. When we correctly value Nibbana, then we know that that will give us supreme happiness and safety. We give up all these wrong views, particularly taking as me and mine. And so this compels us towards removing five hindrances and unwholesome speech and cultivating more wisdom. So that's the first knowledge. The second knowledge that the Buddha talks about, again, a noble disciple considers thus, when I pursue, develop, and cultivate this view, do I obtain internal serenity? Do I personally obtain stillness? He understands thus, when I pursue, develop, and cultivate this view, I obtain internal serenity. I personally obtain stillness. This is the second knowledge attained by him that is noble, supramundane, not shared by ordinary people. So the key phrases in this section in Pali are, Labhami, pachatang, samatang. So This translates as the internal serenity or calm. So this is synonymous with concentration. And the other phrase is labang pachatang nibuting. So this translates as obtaining internal or personal stillness, the peace, quenching, extinguishment. So this is synonymous with nibbana. So the understanding or knowledge that we get here is that we need to cultivate and develop and pursue, like seriously pursue noble right view in order to get the higher concentration, the serenity. And when we do this by developing the Noble Eightfold Path, starting with the noble right view. And then we follow the Buddha's instructions and we see through sensual pleasures, unwholesome states, and also form and formless. And then for the internal stillness or extinguishment, this nibbuting, once we develop higher concentrations, what we know is that having let go of sensual pleasures, unwholesome states, we are now clinging to those higher concentrations. So this part, once you advance in the meditation, is you start to understand you need to let go of the higher concentration, having now developed it, because you see that even in the higher concentrations, you still slide. We cannot sustain them. And so we let go of them in order to realize nibbana. So that's the second knowledge that ordinary people won't have. And this is what the Buddha calls the second supramundane knowledge. And then the other part to that is, again, a noble disciple considers thus, is there any other recluse or Brahmin outside the Buddha's dispensation, possessed of a view such as I possess? He understands thus, there is no other recluse or Brahmin outside the Buddha's dispensation, possessed of a view such as I possess. This is the third knowledge attained by him that is noble, supramundane, not shared by ordinary people. So when we have this noble right view, we don't see any other teacher having the same right view as taught by the Buddha that will liberate us. And as a result of that, how that comes to be is that we don't value any other teachings outside of the Buddha's teachings. We don't give time or seek out other teachings because we know we've got the treasure. And all our time is spent trying to learn, practice, and penetrate the Buddha's teaching. So this is the third knowledge, the noble knowledge that ordinary people won't have. When we have noble right view, we have this supramundane knowledge, third knowledge. The fourth knowledge, or the next two knowledges, are really around the character of a person who possesses the right view. So the Buddha goes on to say, again, a noble disciple considers thus, do I possess the character of a person who possesses right view? What is the character of a person who possesses right view? This is the character of a person who possesses right view. Although he may commit some kind of offense for which a means of rehabilitation has been laid down, still he at once confesses, reveals, and discloses it to the teacher or to wise companions in the spiritual life. And having done that, he enters upon restraint for the future. Just as a young, tender infant lying prone at once draws back when he puts his hand or his foot on a live coal, so too that is the character of a person who possesses right view. He understands thus, I possess the character of a person who possesses right view. This is the fourth knowledge attained by him that is noble, supramundane, not shared by ordinary people. So what the Buddha is saying here is that if we possess the noble right view, then we would admit any transgression, any mistake, any loss in virtue. We would confess it, make it known, disclose it to a teacher, or tell it to a wise Kalyanamitta. We won't try to cover it up or hide it if we have the noble right view. And we would also make a strong determination for restraint and not to allow it to happen again. This is because we understand karma and rebirth. When you have the noble right view, you understand, you know, the laws of karma. And you also understand that unwholesome actions are obstructive, that they are obstructive to the noble path. And if we ignore them, they grow. So like the young infant who draws back from the hot coal, we see the danger and downfall in even the slightest fault. We prefer to confess it and absolve ourselves of some of the karma at that point. And so what Buddha is saying is when we have this, then we possess the character of a person who possesses right view. And so this is the fourth knowledge that ordinary people don't have. Now, the fifth knowledge, the Buddha says, again, a noble disciple considers thus, do I possess the character of a person who possesses right view? What is the character of a person who possesses right view? And then he says, this is the character of a person who possesses right view. Although he may be active in various matters for his companions in the spiritual life, yet he has a keen regard for training in the higher virtue, training in the higher mind, training in the higher wisdom. Just as a cow with a new calf, while she grazes, watches her calf, so too, that is the character of a person who possesses right view. And of course, this is the fifth knowledge that others don't have, that is noble and supramundane, and then you know you possess the character of a person with noble right view. So this is referring to adisila sikha, which is training in higher virtue, adichitta sikha, training in higher concentration of mind, adipanya sikha, which is training in the higher wisdom. So we can simply also call it sila samadipanya, but it's the higher training of those things. Now, when we have the right view, we incline towards this higher training. It is connected to the Noble Eightfold Path. And we know that it leads to nibbana, inclines to nibbana. So usually with this, one recognizes you need to apply a lot of effort to undertake the higher training because you're training in higher virtue, higher concentrations, and of course, higher wisdom. You're making extra effort to penetrate the Buddha's teachings. And so one is more vigilant rather than negligent when it comes to the training. Now, our sutta meditations help us to see all this, to see the Four Noble Truths, to understand the arising and passing away and dependent origination and all these kinds of things. So when we develop our meditations, we are training in this. We are training in non-greed, non-hatred, non-delusion to overcome greed, hatred, and delusion. And most specifically, within these sutta meditations, we know there is always the component of sila, the co component of concentration, and the component of wisdom. So just like the cow with a new calf, while she grazes, watches her calf, even if we have other duties and responsibilities, we prioritize and make time to train, make time for this higher training and develop the Noble Eightfold Path. When we have this, then we know we are a person who possesses the character of someone with right view. And so this is, again, noble and supramundane knowledge. Now, the next two knowledges, or the last two knowledges, relate to the strength of a person who possesses right view. So the other one was the character of a person with right view. This is the strength of a person with right view. The Buddha says, again, a noble disciple considers thus, do I possess the strength of a person who possesses right view? What is the strength of a person who possesses right view? And then he goes on, this is the strength of a person who possesses right view. When the Dhamma and discipline proclaimed by the Tathagata is being taught, he heeds it, gives it attention, engages it with all his mind, hears the Dhamma as with eager ears. So we know this is all very wholesome. This has been quoted in other parts of the Sutta Pitaka. So when you have this, you understand that you possess the strength of a person who possesses right view. This is the sixth knowledge attained by him that is noble, supramundane, not shared with ordinary people. So we can check this because if we have right view, what this means is we like to go and listen to the Dhamma, to Dhamma Vinaya, proclaimed by the Buddha. And we heed the Buddha's words in the way that the Buddha describes. We give our full attention. We're fully engaged. We're listening with eager ears, wanting to correct any wrong views, wanting to learn more, wanting to be able to understand the meaning. And so at the time, the hindrances are subdued. So what we know is if we can cultivate those six principles of cordiality that are in this Kosambya Sutta, then that is also conducive to wanting to listen to the Buddha's Dhamma and discipline. So we would be not like the Kosambian bhikkhus. We'd be more easy to instruct, and we would have all those qualities of metta, having the same virtues, being generous, and having the noble right view. We are not obstructed by disharmony, not obstructed by defilements. We're more similar to Venerables Anuruddha, Nandi, and Kimbala, who meet every 5 days to discuss Dhamma all night. So we are keen to hear what we haven't heard before, keen to clarify what we may not have heard before, and keen to learn, develop, and make progress towards the final goal. So when we have this, then we know we possess the strength of a person who possesses right view. So this is the sixth knowledge that is supramundane and not known by ordinary people. So the seventh one is, again, a noble disciple considers thus. And so the strength of a person who possesses right view, when the Dhamma and discipline proclaimed by the Tathagata is being taught, he gains inspiration in the meaning, gains inspiration in the Dhamma, gains gladness connected with the Dhamma. He understands thus, I possess the strength of a person who possesses right view. This is the seventh and final knowledge attained by him that is noble, supramundane, not shared by ordinary people. In Pali, the key phrases are labhati attavedam. So this is where you gain inspiration in the meaning. And then labhati dhammavedam, gain inspiration in the Dhamma. And then the final one is labhati dhammupassahitam pamojam. So gain gladness. Pamoja is the gladness connected with the Dhamma. So connected with the strength of wanting to hear and learn Buddhist teachings, which was the sixth knowledge, when we possess the right view, we know it is an opportunity to gain inspiration in the meaning, inspiration in the Dhamma, and gladness connected with the Dhamma. We get happy doing so. And we know this is fundamental in whatever way we connect with the Dhamma. So whether it is through learning, listening, recitation, declaring, reflecting, developing our meditation, or living by the Dhamma. And we know that it is only through penetration of the meaning and the Dhamma that we have the opportunity for liberation. And so when we have this, we know that we possess the strength of a person who possesses right view. I mean, all these seven knowledges are very uplifting. Quite often people use these to check whether they have the fruit of stream entry. Because if you have these knowledges, you have these factors, then you're either ready to realize the fruit of stream entry, or you have the fruit of stream entry or higher attainment, and you're able to use these knowledges to actually lift the mind to that palachitta. So the Buddha ends by saying, when a noble disciple is thus possessed of seven factors, he has well sought the character for realization of the fruit of stream entry. So this is exactly it, that when you have this, you're ready to realize the fruit of entering the stream of the Dhamma, of the noble path. And then he says, when a noble disciple is thus possessed of seven factors, he possesses the fruit of stream entry. So this next part confirms that one has the fruit of stream entry and can maintain that fruit of attainment as a concentration. So when we meditate on these seven knowledges, go deeper into the Dhamma behind these knowledges, it is then also possible to maintain the fruit of the attainment at that time. So what this is also telling us is this alpha, if we have attained, it's not active all the time. If noble right view is not active, then it's not active. So that's why people always say, if you have magapala, you want the palachitta to be up, you want it to be active, you want it to have that at the particular time. And that's why we also do our meditations, in order for our palachitta, if we have it, to be up. So after that, that is what the Buddha said, or the Blessed One said. The bhikkhus were satisfied and delighted in the Blessed One's words. And that's the end of the Kausambya Sutta.